Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. We have Labor Day tomorrow, so all of us work in different ways. Here's a little encouraging clip about laboring.
Lord, the world looks different now. Work looks different. I once viewed labor as ordinary. Now it's many things I never dreamed it would be. Cherished. Important. Scary at times. As I step into my day, I think of work in a far different way. I pray for those who've lost their jobs. May what I do help them prosper. I know that whatever my work looks like, be it on the front lines or in the back room, be it at home with children or surrounded by coworkers, you are there with me. So I take this day to reflect, rest if I'm fortunate, to ponder and pray, so I can walk into this world renewed and ready. Amen.
Well, let's take some time to look at the scriptures now, and I hope that you'll be renewed as we open the Bible together. We're in a book of Ephesians, book of Ephesians. We have several visitors here today, and we're glad you're with us to worship the Lord. And it's wonderful to meet each of you. A lot of people are watching online or watching the replay, and we are welcoming you today as well. Everyone, please pray for the revival meeting and plan to come out 6 o'clock each evening and then also on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It'd be great. Dr. Young's been here before. This is the first time his family's here. Most of his kids are away at college or already married, but his daughter will be here, so our kids are looking forward to meeting her, and his wife will be here as well, so it'll be a good time of fellowship and encouragement. All right, so Ephesians chapter 1. Are there any stamp collectors here today? I'm talking U.S. Post Office stamps. Any stamp collectors? Not too many stamp collectors. When I was young, I would take these stamps off, and I would keep them in a little box. It was a Russell Stover Kennedy box. And I made these little compartments with probably tape or something and put all these little compartments. So I had all these stamps. Most of them looked exactly the same. But sometimes I'd get a little different one there and collect those stamps. Well, stamp collecting is something that some people really get into and like. In more than two centuries since Benjamin Franklin was appointed the first postmaster general, that was 1775, the Postal Service has really grown and has some new technology today, and it serves our population in different ways. The post office issued its first postage stamp on July 1st, 1847. There it is. Who is that person? That's Franklin right there. That's Franklin, a 5-cent stamp. And the postage rate was based on the number of sheets in a letter and the distance it would travel. So they would put several of these on depending on how many pieces of paper you had in it and how far away it would go. Well, these are real collector's items today. Let's look at the next one. A couple others. Here's George Washington. So about 10 years later, they issued a George Washington. It was 10 cents by then. And look at the next one. It goes back. There's a 30 cents kind of thrown in there. And there's, is that Franklin again? Looks like a 30 cent piece. And then let's see what's the next one. There's George Washington. So Washington's been used a lot on that as well. The most etched or used stamp or printed stamp is ones of Benjamin Franklin. He's the character mostly used on stamps throughout the history of the post office. And Thomas Jefferson, he was one of those other ones that was one of the early ones that was there. So stamp collecting. One of the beautiful things about stamps is it has one job alone. It's to stick to what you stick it to until it gets there. That's really the job of a stamp, Remember, you like those old ones? You like those? you have the sticker ones now. Well, what's it supposed to do? It has one job. Stick to what you put it on until it arrives at its destination. As we look at this passage, we find that the Holy Spirit of God is one that seals us, and He sticks to us. He lives in us till the moment we pass over into heaven and we enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the one who delivers us to God the Father. You see, we are signed for with the blood of Jesus, delivered and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and received, upon receipt, received by the God, our God, the Father. And so, think about these Christians at Ephesus, when they read this passage, verses 3 through 14, when they unrolled this scroll, they read the longest Greek sentence in all the New Testament. It's all one continuous sentence that they read, and it's one of the most beautiful and majestic passages in all of Scripture. So I hope that you're encouraged today as we look at this passage. One of our favorite television shows is from Hallmark, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. There's a series about it as well. It has some very compelling stories and mysteries, heartwarming, good family stories. And in this passage, we find that same idea, signed, sealed, and delivered, just like the post office, are actually a lot better than any human post office, and this is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So look into the passage, if you would, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. 27 times in chapter 1 alone, you find the word I-N-N. In. So this series that we're going through, this book of Ephesians, is I'm in. I'm all in as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's continue then. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. So when you find things like predestination is a term we'll read in just a moment, and this one right here, predestinated, we don't have to be afraid of this. These big terms, we need to understand what they mean. He's predestinated those who would choose Christ. They become adopted. They're trusting Christ. They're born again. They're adopted at the same time. It's one of the many functions that happens at the moment you pass from unbelief to belief, from no faith in Christ to complete faith in Christ in your salvation. And so here's this adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, this would be the economy of God, how God's revealed Himself at different times in history, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. So all people of all time who've ever looked forward to or looked back on and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God. He'll gather us all together in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And here's that purpose, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, last message 2 weeks ago, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Part 1, we looked at the first 11 verses here, from 13 to 12, and today, let's look at verse 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. That's the guarantee, that's the promise of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. A key phrase in verse 14, until the redemption. And when the redemption is complete, that's a great phrase you may want to underline or circle or something in your scriptures. Here we find that we are sealed. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sealed us when we believed. After you believe. So when you believe, He set a seal on you. The word seal means to set a mark upon, to put a mark upon. And it means to impress something, to seal, to stamp, kind of like a stamp. The word earnest here, we are told that He is the earnest of our salvation. He's the earnest. That's the promise. That's the down payment. He's the down payment. It's the advance or the security that what has been promised will come to pass. That there's a transaction that is in process. And that transaction will be completed and totally accounted for because there's an earnest. There's a guarantee. He is the guarantor. The Holy Spirit is the promise of our salvation. And God says that He's given us, at the moment you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us, and that's an evidence, that's a proof, that's a seal, that's a promise that you've been redeemed, that you are purchased, that you have been paid for. Now, the transaction is totally completed when we pass from this body and from this earth into the next. That's when it takes place, and we get to experience that new eternal life there with God in His presence. Notice the phrase or the word inheritance. This has the idea of the eternal blessedness that's to be consummated in the consummated kingdom of God, which is to be expected after the visible return of Christ. So we're looking forward to this. We're signed already. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we're all waiting, and I hope you're waiting, for that moment you are delivered into the presence of God the Father. Now, notice that phrase, the word of truth. After you heard the word of truth, so somebody trusted Christ. He says, you Ephesian believers, you trusted in Christ after you heard the word of truth. Hearing the Bible is such an imperative in our lives. The Bible does many things for us. It sanctifies us. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible also supplies us with direction. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you get the idea of Awana from that as well. You know, we're studying the Bible and studying the Scriptures. And it's such an important thing for us because it tells us how to live so we don't have to be ashamed before our God. And the Scripture saves us, or better, births us. You have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God come together, and the seed of faith is in your life then. That's when faith is birthed in you with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. James 1:18 tells us, of His own will He begat us with the Word of truth. Same phrase that we read here in Ephesians, the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And that echoes what we read in Ephesians, the first of those who would trust in Christ. And so we can thank the Lord for the Word of God. And I hope that you would prioritize studying the Scriptures, reading it yourself, being in church gathered, getting around church scattered, being in small group study, praying with other believers. Any time you can hear authentic Bible teaching and preaching, it's a good thing. And take advantage of that. Revival meeting is a great time for that as well. But let's notice something here. It's the Holy Spirit who seals us. And it's He, because of the blood of Christ, He seals us and then delivers us in our day of redemption to God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit who promises delivery of the Christian to heaven. So that's our first point here this morning, is that the Holy Spirit promises us. He promises us. But I really think it'd almost be better to say this. He promises to God the Father. He promises, and Jesus sent Him, the Holy Spirit, to us, to dwell in us, to this day of redemption. Now, one person wrote, those who had tasted the Spirit had begun to taste the life of the future world that God had promised to His people. And so here's the Apostle Paul explaining to these Christians, you have the Holy Spirit of God who is dwelling in you, who has sealed you. And he is going to take care of you until the day of redemption. But it's a promise. Now, Jesus promised to us, he promised to us that he would send the Holy Spirit. And notice in John chapter 15, verse 26, wonderful passage, when the Comforter has come, that's the word pneuma. It's the same word of Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, it's capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit comes, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So you have the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. You have the Word of God working in your life. And then you were birthed into God's family. You believe the gospel. And Jesus said, when you trust in Christ, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He told that to his disciples. And we know that when you trust Christ, that's the exact moment, we call that indwelling, the indwelling. He takes up residence. He lives within you, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. He's always there. And think about this idea of marking, the idea of marking, because the word seal carries the idea of marking, a mark. You seal, you put a stamp on something. That's the idea of the sealing, really. A sealing is a stamp, a mark. To be marked with a seal indicates authority, authenticity, and security. It's validation of ownership. God seals or marks his children. He seals us, he marks us with the Holy Spirit. You're marked if you're a believer. God knows who are his. Because of the Holy Spirit. He knows he is in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. Now, in the case that we are his, that we are authentic spiritual children, not fakes, not imposters, and we're under his protection. He marks a promise. He seals as a promise this earnest of our inheritance. He marks us for Jesus. The word sealed, in order to mark a person or thing, that's the definition. Hence, to set a mark upon by the impression of a seal or a stamp. A seal or a stamp. Now, this is very interesting because if you study the Bible, you know there's at least two seals that we are interested in. Everybody should be interested in these two seals. The first seal that everybody is interested in is the mark or the seal of the beast, the Antichrist. The mark of the beast. You've heard that term before, the mark of the beast. Well, we should be interested in this. The world is being conditioned to get to a place where they feel like we need a mark. We need to know about people. And we need to know everything about people to be able to tell if they should buy here or sell here, or if we should let them come into this place or not come into this place. The world is being conditioned by this. Now, no matter what your thought is about COVID vaccination, you may be for it, you may be against it. What I'm saying has nothing to do with that. You may trust that medicine. Other times people say they'll have science on the other side. Both sides cite science for however they're convicted about the vaccine. And whatever you choose about that, that's your personal choice. We believe in liberty of conscience because the Bible teaches liberty of conscience. So I'll love you either way, whether you want the vaccine or not, whether you believe this or believe that about those things. But the world, here's the point, the world is being conditioned to notice if a person is vaccinated or not, to have a card about it or not. Some people are actually, I read about a young man, 22 years old or something, he actually had his state had a vaccination card that had like a little barcode on it. So he actually tattooed his arm with a barcode. So he walks into places like, hey, I'm all good. He walks in. No time in world history has every government, whether it's a monarchy, a socialist country, a democracy, a republic, a dictatorship, whatever the case is, no time in the history of the world has every country, no matter how they're led, has demanded that their people all be touched in some way with some kind of a medical device or treatment. It's never happened before. The world is being conditioned to say, we need to know who are the people coming in. And the mark of the beast, one day, it's not here yet, but the mark of the beast will be here one day to pledge allegiance to the beast and to his religion, the false prophet, and to their one world. And all of those things will be tied into the economy and money. And you can't buy or sell. You can't go and have dinner at this place. You can't go to this theater or this place or this other if you don't have it. You won't be able to have that. The world's quickly being conditioned to have that mindset. Now, this is important. It's one of these marks. The third angel, Revelation 14, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, that's his seal, his mark, in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke and their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So whether that's a biogenic or luminescent tattoo that has information in it on your right hand or forehead, maybe it's a little chip or a little thing the size of rice, we're not sure. There's actually things that are invisible that can be tattooed to your hand now and has like computer data in it. It's amazing. It's biogenic type stuff in it. Yeah, it's amazing. It could be something like that. We don't know. The world is being prepared for that. It's being conditioned for that. So the rollouts of the vaccine, Satan will take some cues about how to get it done. How do you chip everybody? How do you mark everybody in the whole world? It'll take a long time. And by the time you get to 3.5 years in the tribulation, he's going to say, you need to be marked or you can't buy or sell anything. And for sure, by that point, he's saying, at 3.5 years in the tribulation, 7 years, he says, you need to bow down and worship me. Just like Revelation says right here. And so the world is being prepared. That's the mark of the beast. But Christian, I've got good news for you. You've already been marked. You've been marked. You've been sealed. It's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has sealed you, and he promises delivery. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll get to this passage and expand upon it in a few months, Lord willing. For this cause I bow on my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's right there dwelling. Jesus is in you, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we have some promises from God and the Holy Spirit about him being in us. Number two, he also tells us that he will protect us. He will protect us. Notice how we are sealed until this Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. He's the earnest, he's the guarantor of our inheritance that we get to have, that's our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. The Holy Spirit is the one who protects us. Who protected the first century Christians when they started to go through the persecutions? The 10 waves of Roman persecution, who protected them and saw them through that? Who actually delivered them from this earth into that heaven? Who did that? The Holy Spirit sealed them unto the day of their redemption. Friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that happens on this earth can separate you from the love of God. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good news. No one can erase your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody can do it. You're signed for with the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit promises to deliver you, and He will protect you on your journey there. He carries us through troubles. He seals us to God the Father. Blessed be the Father, as verse 3 says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, you think, well, I'm going to enjoy heaven when I get there. He says we already have possession of that. We haven't actually entered in. We can't experience that, but we have it. Salvation is the present possession of eternal life. You already have it if you're saved. And you can enjoy just a taste of what heaven is like now because of the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you. You think about how the package, you deliver a package and somebody, hopefully who you send it to, opens it up. It's a guarantee. When the Holy Spirit has marked you, God the Father is the one who will open up that package in heaven. He's the one who receives you, is what I'm trying to say. And it's a done deal, to use that expression. It's already as good as accomplished. Now, He carries us through troubles. There's going to be troubles. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That passage is fascinating. You think about, we're joint heirs with Christ, just like this passage says we're adopted and we're part sons and daughters of God, just like what we've read in Ephesians. And then at this last phrase here, that if so be that we suffer with Him. This assumes that we already know as we live life there's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulty. All of us will face suffering. If we claim the name of Christ, there's going to be difficulties that we face. Now, sometimes they're easier going than others. Maybe there's different stages and seasons of life for different people. And sometimes it's whole societies and whole countries and things that are turned over to persecution, etc. In the 3rd century, during the reign of Decius, he was about the 7th of the 10 waves of persecution. You think about the Apostle John and Paul, they were persecuted by Nero, and Nero was blaming Christians. And from Nero on, there's these different emperors in the Roman Empire that would persecute Christianity until one kind of came along, and Constantine said, well, Christianity's okay, and he said he converted to Christianity. But for a long, long time, there was intense persecution, sometimes more intense than others. Well, during the reign of Decius, he declared that all citizens must follow the traditional Roman gods, excluding the God of Christianity. So here's this generation of Christians, about 200 years after the resurrection of Christ, about 200 years after the resurrection of Jesus, you have these Christians who are going to be persecuted for their faith. And he said, if you don't participate in the imperial cult, what that means basically is this, is that it's emperor worship. You have to worship the emperor. That's why a lot of the Roman coins would have these emperors, and on the other side would be pictures of deity, and it was like they wanted themselves to be worshipped. It's the imperial cult. So it's the state religion. You need to bow down to this. You need to go to worship over here. You need to participate and offer sacrifice to your emperor. That's kind of how they would talk back then in their society, in their government. Well, this generation of Christians, they were not quite prepared for what was going on, and a lot of them became apostates, or they turned away from the faith, this imperial cult that was going on. A lot of pressure if they would not go to the temple that was dedicated to the false idol, the false god of Decius, a lot of pressure on them if they would not bow down and would not offer a sacrifice to the emperor. And basically, every region had one big temple or several, and people would have to go to those places. Some Christians bowed down quickly, renouncing Jesus. They said, hey, you mean put me in prison? I can't go buy and sell over here if I don't do that? Some people said, I'll say no to Jesus, and I'll go ahead and go to the temple and worship Decius. Some stood firm, but when they actually got imprisoned and were threatened with having a crucifixion or some other form of being burned alive or something. They said, well, I really didn't want to, but I'll offer a sacrifice to Decius. That way I can spare my life. And they said no to Christ. Some obtained fake certificates of little cards that said, I worshiped at the temple of Decius. They had fake cards. You know, fake cards are popping up on the internet now, you know, COVID cards. I got the shot. Because they said, I want to just keep living life. I'll believe Jesus secretly. I'll have my little card. I'm a card-carrying member. I have this. And, yeah, I went to the temple. I did my worship. And just live life like that. And then several Christians said, I'm not going to get a fake card. Even though I'm in prison now, and my life is going to be taken from me, and my family killed, and all the things that I love taken away, and my life now is on the line, I will not refuse the name of Christ. I will not deny Him. And they died for their faith. Apparently, people had to walk around with their card during this era and say, I worshiped at the temple, at the state temple to Decius. They had to do that, or they forfeited their life. It's amazing how the Bible tells us how things have been, how things will be in the future. Isn't that just an interesting parallel? Either as a concession to the Senate, or perhaps with the idea of improving public morality, Decius also revived and empowered the office of the census. Now you think of the census to take track of, you know, how many people were here in the days of Christ. You know, there was a census for Mary and Joseph. But he added some things to it. He wanted to increase control of the culture, so he had the people with the census. He gave them great authority to control how things were perceived in the empire, to kind of control the narrative of what was happening. And from this era of Decius, the term censor actually derived into the word censorship. Censorship. During the seventh wave of the persecutions during the Roman Empire. That's just something interesting I thought you would like to know about. That goes along with this, because as we are reading this passage, as we're reading this, about 150 years after Paul wrote this, those Christians read this as well. Ephesus was part of the Roman Empire. They had an imperial cult temple to the Roman Emperor, just Decius, just down the street from where a lot of these Christians would read the scripture of the book of Ephesians. Isn't that interesting? That's how it was back then. Now, the Holy Spirit, He delivered the true Christians. Some of those who died, well, what about them? Did God see them through? He did. He saw them through. They didn't deny the faith. They kept following Jesus. And even though they were executed, they did not deny Jesus Christ. But when they died, listen, they woke up in the presence of Jesus. How did they get there? God delivered them. The Holy Spirit sealed them and brought them through it. And they still believe. And they're in heaven today. We'll get to meet some of those Christians who were killed during the time of Decius. Now think about our lives. We have a lot of trouble today. Some of you have great difficulty that you're facing. It could be health needs. It's big decisions. Some of you are maybe going to lose your job, and things are just changing in society at such a fast pace. And there's a lot of uncertainty, and our leaders are fearful and just afraid, you know. And it's affecting us. It's affecting us. What do we do? Well, nothing takes God by surprise. Stuff like this has happened before, you know, just different names, different faces, different exact circumstances perhaps, but similar things have happened to other Christians throughout history. And God can glorify you. And He will be glorified through the troubles that we face. And this is so fascinating. If you would look at this, at the verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And God glorifies us, and He changes us, and He is glorified. He's the one who gets the credit. And friends, I encourage you, give God the glory for your salvation. Give God the glory for seeing you through and seeing us through. Now, at the same time, he also convicts us to choose what is right. So he protects us. And part of that is when he convicts us to choose what is right versus what is wrong, that's also a form of protection. And he will challenge us to choose to do what God would have us to do. In 1 John 3, verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. How do we know what to do? We follow the Bible. We follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit who is living inside of us. So he protects us. Whenever you feel convicted, I should be doing this, or I shouldn't be doing that, or here's how I should be, and here's how I should not be, that's something that the Holy Spirit does. And he's working in your life. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we would yield to him in our lives. And then finally, the Holy Spirit provides for us. He provides for us redemption. Redemption means to release on payment of the ransom. A release affected by the payment of a ransom. Redemption, or to be released. And there's a redemption of the purchased possession. So God gives us eternity in heaven because of the seal of the Holy Spirit, all because of the signature of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we get to enjoy this purchased possession. It's something that's been reserved or preserved for us. It's possession. It's one's own property. And friends, I've got good news for you. When Jesus was on this earth, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he made a place for you, and he's making a place for you, and it'll be ready. When you take that last breath, it'll be ready for you, and you are delivered. You get to take that possession. You get to claim and know and experience that eternal life when that transaction takes place. Now, Jesus, think about that. When you go into heaven, Jesus shows God the Father your name written in a Lamb's Book of Life. The transaction of redemption is complete when we are delivered from this body into the presence of God in heaven. Think about this. I was imagining this morning. Whenever you take your last breath, or if the rapture would take place and we ascend into heaven, here's what would happen. We're waiting for that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But when it comes to the Lamb's Book of Life, who's written down in it? He is mine. She belongs to me. Let them in to my presence. How wonderful God is. To accept sinful, wicked, like we sang a moment ago, a wretch like me, like us. The Holy Spirit takes us home. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen, no matter what happens in your life, you are sealed, you are safe, you are secure, and guaranteed promise of delivery to God the Father. The Spirit promises delivery of the Christian to heaven, and let's thank the Lord for that. Alex Haley, do you know the name Alex Haley? He wrote the book Roots. It became a good film series that you could watch. And he had a picture on the wall in his office. Alex had this picture, and it was a turtle. Here's a turtle. And it was a turtle on a fence post. And he had this famous saying. He would say this all the time. He'd say, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he had some help. Turtle can't get there by itself. So if you see, it's like a cruel joke, isn't it? Put the turtle up there. It's like he's moving his feet. He can't get off even, perhaps. Maybe he'll just topple off. He couldn't get up there by himself. Listen, there is no way in the world, there is no way in the world for any of you, myself, or anyone that's ever lived, to get to heaven by herself. That turtle didn't get on the fence post by itself. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to go to heaven by ourselves. Friends, we are signed for by the blood of Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are delivered to God the Father. And it's all something that takes place because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, defeating sin, death, and hell. If you've never trusted Christ, why not believe salvation today? Religion doesn't get you there. Being a good person doesn't get you there. Being nicer than your neighbor, being a better person than somebody you know, that doesn't get you there. It's not that. It's not traditional religion. It's not being baptized. It's not doing some kind of a good work for somebody. No, the only way a person is saved is to be born again by believing in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. That's the only way to go to heaven. How can I be delivered to heaven? It's only through Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit delivering you, and God the Father receiving you. That's it. That's it. Christians, I hope that you're encouraged today to take heart with the Bible. Be encouraged as you go through this era that we live in and the strange times and things that are going on, that God will see you through this. And we have a future to look forward to in heaven, no matter what happens on this earth. And let's all of us as Christians give the credit to God. Give Him the glory today. Let's bow together for a time of prayer. Thank you for participating. All those watching at home, thank you for participating. Here's our three questions. In our response, we should glorify God. Are you giving God credit for your salvation? Or do you take just a little bit of credit? Like, oh yeah, I'm a pretty good person. No, no, it's all through Christ. Are you totally giving God the credit for your salvation? Give God the glory. And then as you go through life, give God the glory for whatever and however things are going in your life. Maybe God spoke to you about that, giving God the glory, that I should be to the praise of His glory. Anybody like that, just raise your hand. I see several hands. God bless you. Thank you. God bless. Thank you. Good. God will answer that prayer. Are you giving God the credit for preserving you and keeping you saved? I'm just going to persevere because, you know, I just have the ability. I'm just smart. I know I have street smarts. I know what to do. I'll be okay. No, are you giving God the credit for securing you and preserving you no matter what happens on this earth? Maybe God spoke to you about that. It's not me. God's preserving me. My salvation, I'm not keeping it by what I'm doing. It's all through Christ. I recognize that. I give Him the glory for keeping me. Anybody like that? God spoke to you like that? Oh, a lot of hands. Good. Yes. Not us, Tim. Very good. And then as Christian, would you keep reading the Holy Scriptures? Would you keep studying? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you as you go through life? Maybe that's your prayer. Lord, may Your Spirit, may Your Word continue to guide me as I navigate life. That's my prayer today. Anybody like that? Several hands again. Yes, keep studying. Keep reading. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Keep being in church gathered. Come through the revival. Get in a scattered group. Keep studying the Scriptures. Take just a moment. Pray about any decision God's impressed upon you and respond to Him. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve an opportunity to be forgiven of our sin. We thank You for Your sending of Your Son Jesus and His freely coming to choose to die on the cross for us. Lord, thank You for the Holy Spirit who indwelled us at the moment of salvation, sealed us and protects us and keeps us. And Lord, we thank You and we look forward with great anticipation and excitement to see You one day face to face when we are delivered into Your presence. Lord, thank You for this powerful passage of Scripture and what it means to us. And no matter what, Lord, we know that Your love is remaining and constant. Encourage every Christian here to continue to follow You and to live their lives for You, giving the credit and glory to You. And Lord, we pray if there's one without Christ, they're not sure about forgiveness of sins, that today would be their day to know for certain that they will be delivered into heaven as well. They'll be delivered into Your presence. Help them to talk to one of the Christians here or to myself. Lord, thank You for being our God and for hearing our prayer now. We ask that You'll give us safety as we go, and we look forward to coming back again, gathering for this revival meeting. We pray for great and wonderful things there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for being a part of the service today. We'll let you know about the possible bonfire later on tonight. That'd be at 7 if we do that. We do have choir rehearsal. We're going to sing the choir, pray for the choir, planning to sing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the revival meeting. So something to look forward to on those nights. So have a great afternoon. God bless. Thanks for being here.
Worthy of glory, worthy of honor.